Welcome to a Department of Prime Industries podcast. Today, Kathy Hurdle, District Agronomist based at Dubbo, is speaking with plant pathologist Stephen Simpfendorfer.
Many growers and agronomists are currently reporting stripe rust infections in wheat crops across New South Wales. Steve Simpfendorfer, plant pathologist based at Tamworth, answers some of the questions that are being asked. So Steve, stripe rust is often first noticed as appearing as a hot spot in the crop. What are we actually seeing?
Well, yeah, stripe rust is basically windblown spores, so they can blow quite big distances catching air currents, etc. So how they first generally enter a crop is they can come from quite big distances. And then when we've got those winter infections, we tend to have slightly higher humidity and the spores produced on those leaves tend to clump. So they're actually, you've got a number of spores stuck together and they're a lot heavier. So they tend to only spread to adjacent plants rather than blowing throughout that whole crop, and that's why we tend to get that hot spot as it spreads out.
What sort of environmental conditions favour the development of stripe rust?
So with stripe rust, it's really a function of both moisture and temperature. So moisture is critical for the initial infection. So to get a spore that lands on a leaf to infect, you need 5 to 6 hours of leaf wetness or high humidity. And the temperature needs to be between 9 and 18 degrees. And then you basically initiate an infection. That spore can germinate and infect a leaf. Then how quickly the disease develops within a leaf, and then you see the pustules come out, is all driven by temperatures. And really optimum temperatures staying for long periods around that 15 degrees. But generally we say between 12 and 20 for long periods really drives the cycling of stripe rust.
How important is the resistance rating of a variety?
So certainly with varieties, resistance is critical. So the more susceptible varieties, growers need to keep a really close eye on. So we know with the new pathotype that's come out, the YR17 pathotype, varieties such as Crusader and Ventura are particularly susceptible to that. So certainly need to keep an eye on that. And unfortunately, when you've got a lot of spores out there in the system, which generally you get a lot more on more susceptible varieties, you get a higher chance of mutations. And we had that last year, and we've actually lost a second gene. So we've lost YR17, and then it's got combined virulence for YR27. And that's a particular concern for the variety Livingston. So certainly Livingston crops need to be monitored and kept an eye on this year.
Many crops sown this season receive seed treatments for protection against stripe rust. How long does this protection last?
So seed treatments, there's a range there, and there's also in-furrow fertiliser options too. They've all got varying lengths of protection, and that can be quite variable depending on the season in terms of how much rush pressure is there and how much that's diluted by biomass growth of the actual plant. But generally, from the work we've done, certainly in inoculated trials in screenhouses, those upfront options are really competing with your grow stage 32 second node spray. So generally they get you around to that stage where they're starting to wane by about grow stage 37 to 39 when the flag leaf starts to come out.
When applying fungicides, just how important is that timing?
I think it's important with stripe rust to remember that, similar to all leaf diseases, it's all about the loss of green leaf area, that photosynthetic area. So stripe rust is basically removing that green leaf area, and that's where you get your reduced yield or increased screenings, so it can have those quality impacts. So in terms of timing of fungicide application, it's all about protecting the main yielding leaves and the timing that they come out. So we talk about the flag leaf, the flag minus one, which is a leaf immediately below the flag, then the flag minus two, which is the second one down. They have varying contributions, but they're still the three most important leaves. So the timing's really around that. So the ideal first timing in a moderately susceptible variety is what we call growth stage 32 or second node, and that's when the flag minus two leaf comes out. And generally a spray then will get you through to growth stage 39, which is full flag leaf emergence, and a second spray at that stage protects all the three top main yielding leaves and is critical to managing that disease.
Steve, what does the resistance rating of a variety actually tell us?
So the resistance rating basically tells you how strong that variety is against rust. So it's a combination of major genes and then what we call adult plant resistance genes. So generally once we get a moderately susceptible or better, that they've got strong adult plant resistance, which becomes expressed anywhere from growth stage 32, second node, through to full head. But generally you rely on it from full heading onwards. And the resistance really dictates the need to come in and with management in crop fungicide. So a more susceptible variety certainly needs to have that stronger management there.
This season we're seeing a lot of variability in the condition and yield potential of our crops. And a question many people are asking is, should they spray them for stripe rust or not? What are the key things growers need to consider before spraying their crops for stripe rust?
Yeah, certainly the variability in crops this year, it makes the decisions a lot harder. So as we head out into those more central west regions, you know, really being quite dry and quite limited yield potentials. But then as you head north up Narrabri and above, they've generally had good rainfall and got quite high yield potentials. So that really complicates things. But no matter where you are, there's a couple of key factors, okay? Firstly, the resistance of the variety. So certainly all the work showed there's no need to manage varieties that are moderate resistant or better, so have resistance at that level. The amount of yield loss you get is just not high enough to warrant spraying. So even in a conducive year like 2010, it was very marginal, so we certainly won't see that this year. Not to say we don't get seedling infections in varieties such as EGA Gregory and even Spitfire, but they generally clean themselves up, so there's no need to manage there. So varietal resistance is the first thing. The growth stage of the crop is certainly critical. So once you get into that full head emergence, adult plant resistance in varieties that are all moderately susceptible of bedders kicked in, so there's no need to certainly spray after that stage. And then, as always, the conditions that are predicted, whether how favourable that's going to be for the stripe rust in terms of both temperature, in terms of cycling times, but also the moisture in terms of driving more infection events. But as we said there before, stripe rust is all about the loss of green leaf area. And even in a one-ton potential crop, you have to actually pay for that fungicide spray. So you have to be confident that if you don't spray, you're going to get enough yield loss or protect that yield with the spray. So that's really marginal in those lower yielding crops. They generally won't have the biomass either, which will drive that microclimate to keep the disease cycling. I think it's important to re-emphasise to growers that fungicides don't actually increase yield. So what they're doing is actually protecting yield potential. So when you're making a spray decision, you need to be in a situation that fungicide application is going to pay for itself, or as we generally say, you know, get $2 return on $1 invested. So you really have to be in a situation where you expect to lose that much yield if you don't spray. And that's really going to be quite marginal given the lower yield potential of a lot of these crops.
Some crops were grazed throughout the winter months and have now had the stock removed. Would this grazing have had any effect on the amount of stripe rust that develops?
Grazing, certainly if there was infections in there early, would remove those infections through the activity of the stock. Depends how complete that graze is, really, as to how much you've really knocked it out down. But generally, the lower canopy density, yes, that crop regrows, also is less favourable to rust development. So it certainly can have an effect. But once the growers lock those crops up to head for grain recovery, they still need to manage their rust if they're in susceptible varieties.
Steve, how would you sum up the situation that we're all facing now?
So I think the thing to remember this year is that it's very different to 2010. So 2010 was unique in that it was very wet, frequent rainfall across all of New South Wales. We actually had quite mild temperatures, which really allowed the stripe rust and other leaf diseases, yellow spot being the key one, to cycle for extended periods and cause big problems. I think this is probably pointing out the obvious, but this year, 2011, is very different to 2010, and painfully obvious for the guys in that central west area. So certainly after a 2010 year with that, we get very cautious with our spray options, so we're very adverse to those losses. But just have a look at the rainfall and the temperatures. It's very different to last year, and we certainly haven't seen that. A lot of yellow spot round early in crops, but just with dry conditions, hasn't moved up the canopy, and we don't expect that to become a problem. I think the other thing to remember is just have a look at the base of some of the plants in some of these paddocks. There's quite high levels of basal branding associated with crown rot, and given a drier, tough finish, probably crown rot might be a bigger issue for us this year than stripe rust, and that should certainly be a consideration if growers are going to spray marginal levels of stripe rust and then end up with a hot, dry finish and get whacked by crown rot anyway.
Thanks, Steve, for taking time out to talk to us today. This podcast updates the stripe rust situation in northern and central New South Wales. For further information, contact your local Department of Primary Industries district agronomist.
Users rely on information in this podcast at their own risk. The Department of Industry and Investment and the State of New South Wales do not warrant nor represent the information is complete, current, reliable, nor error-free, and they disclaim all liability concerning the podcast to the extent permitted by law. Details about disclaimers, privacy and copyright are available at our website at www.newsouthwales.gov.au/legal or by calling 0263 91 3552.